Chapter 14. The Autarch Leaves. The tableau remained unbroken for a moment. The Autarch had lit another cigarette. He was quite relaxed, his face untroubled. Gilbert had folded into the pilot's seat, his face screwed up as though he were going to burst into tears. The limp straps of the pilot's stress-absorbing outfit dangled about him and increased the lugubrious effect. Byron, paper white, fists clenched, faced the Autarch. Artemisia, her thin nostrils flaring, kept her eyes not on the Autarch, but on Byron only. The radio signaled, the soft clickings crashing with the effect of cymbals in the small pilot room. Gilbert jerked upright, then whirled on the seat. The Autarch said lazily, "I'm afraid we've been more talkative than I'd anticipated. I told Rizzet to come get me if I had not returned in an hour." The visual screen was alive now with Rizzet's grizzled head. And then Gilbert said to the Autarch, "He would like to speak with you." He made room. The Autarch rose from his chair and advanced so that his own head was within the zone of visual transmission. He said, "I am perfectly safe, Rizzet." The other's question was heard clearly. "Who are the crew members on the cruiser, sir?" And suddenly Byron stood next to the Autarch. "I am Rancher of Widdemost," he said proudly. Rizzet smiled gladly and broadly. A hand appeared on the screen in sharp salute. "Greetings, sir." The Autarch interrupted. "I will be returning soon, with a young lady. Prepare to maneuver for contact airlocks." And he broke the visual connection between the two ships. He turned to Byron. "I assured them it was you on board ship. There was some objection to my coming here alone otherwise. Your father was extremely popular with my men." "Which is why you can use my name." The Autarch shrugged. Byron said, "It is all you can use. Your last statement to your officer was inaccurate."
"In what way?"
"Artemisia Auth Henriad stays with me."
"Still? After what I have told you?"
Byron said sharply, "You've told me nothing. You have made a bare statement, but I am not likely to take your unsupported word for anything. I tell you this without any attempt at tact. I hope you understand me."
"Is your knowledge of Henrik such that my statement seems inherently implausible to you?"
Byron was staggered. Visibly and apparently, the remark had struck home. He made no answer. Artemisia said,
"I say it's not so. Do you have proof?"
"No direct proof, of course. I was not present at any conferences between your father and the Tirani, but I can present certain known facts and allow you to make your own inferences. First, the old rancher of Widdemost visited Henrik 6 months ago. I've said that already. I can add here that he was somewhat overenthusiastic in his efforts, or perhaps he overestimated Henrik's discretion. At any rate, he talked more than he should have. My Lord Gilbert can verify that."
Gilbert nodded miserably. He turned to Artemisia, who had turned to him with moist and angry eyes.
"I'm sorry, Arta, but it's true. I've told you this. It was from Widdemost that I heard about the Autarch."
The Autarch said,
"And it was fortunate for myself that my lord had developed such long mechanical ears with which to sate his lively curiosity concerning the director's meetings of state. I was warned of the danger, quite unwittingly, by Gilbert when he first approached me. I left as soon as I could, but the damage, of course, had been done. Now, to our knowledge, it was Widdemost's only slip, and Henrik, certainly, has no enviable reputation as a man of any great independence and courage. Your father, Farrell, was arrested within half a year. If not through Henrik, through this girl's father, then how?"
Byron said, "You did not warn him?"
"In our business, we take our chances, Farrell, but he was warned. After that, he made no contact, however indirect, with any of us, and destroyed whatever proof he had of connection with us. Some among us believed that he should leave the sector, or at the very least, go into hiding. He refused to do this. I think I can understand why. To alter his way of life would prove the truth of what the Tirani must have learned, endanger the entire movement. He decided to risk his own life only. He remained in the open. For nearly half a year the Tirani waited for a betraying gesture. They are patient, the Tirani. None came, so that when they could wait no longer, they found nothing in their net but him.
It's a lie, cried Artemisia. It's all a lie. It's a smug, sanctimonious lying story with no truth in it. If all you said were true, they would be watching you too. You would be in danger yourself. You wouldn't be sitting here smiling and wasting time.
My lady, I do not waste my time. I have already tried to do what I could toward discrediting your father as a source of information. I think I have succeeded somewhat. The Tirani will wonder if they ought to listen further to a man whose daughter and cousin are obvious traitors. And then again, if they are still disposed to believe him, why, I am on the point of vanishing into the nebula where they will not find me. I should think my actions tend to prove my story rather than otherwise. Byron drew a deep breath and said, Let us consider the interview at an end, Jonty. We have agreed to the extent that we will accompany you and that you will grant us needed supplies. That is enough. Granting that all you have just said is truth, it is still beside the point. The crimes of the director of Rhodia are not inherited by his daughter. Artemisia Auth-Hinriad stays here with me, provided she herself agrees.
I do, said Artemisia.
Good. I think that covers everything. I warn you, by the way, you are armed, so am I. Your ships are fighters, perhaps. Mine is a Tyranian cruiser. Don't be silly, Farrell. My intentions are quite friendly. You wish to keep the girl here? So be it. May I leave by contact airlock? Byron nodded. We will trust you so far. The two ships maneuvered ever closer until the flexible airlock extensions pouted outward toward one another. Carefully, they edged about, trying for the perfect fit. Gilbert hung upon the radio.
They'll be trying to contact again in 2 minutes, he said.
Three times already the magnetic field had been triggered, and each time the extending tubes had stretched toward one another and met off-center, gaping crescents of space between them.
2 minutes, repeated Byron, and waited tensely.
The second hand moved, and the magnetic field clicked into existence a fourth time, the lights dimming as the motors adjusted to the sudden drain of power. Again, the airlock extensions reached out, hovered on the brink of instability, and then, with a noiseless jar, the vibration of which hummed its way into the pilot room, settled into place properly, clamps automatically locking in position. An airtight seal had been formed. Byron drew the back of his hand slowly across his forehead, and some of the tension oozed out of him. There it is, he said. The autarch lifted his spacesuit. There was still a thin film of moisture under it.
Thanks, he said pleasantly.
An officer of mine will be right back. You will arrange the details of the supplies necessary with him. The autarch left. Byron said, Take care of Jonty's officer for me for a while, will you, Gil? When he comes in, break the airlock contact. All you'll have to do is remove the magnetic field. This is the photonic switch you'll flash. He turned and stepped out of the pilot room. Right now he needed time for himself, time to think, mostly. But there was the hurried footstep behind him, and the soft voice. He stopped.
Byron, said Artemisia, I want to speak to you.
He faced her. Later, if you don't mind, Arta. She was looking up at him intently.
No, now.
Her arms were poised as though she would have liked to embrace him, but was not sure of her reception. She said,
You didn't believe what he said about my father.
It has no bearing, said Byron.
Byron, she began, and stopped. It was hard for her to say it. She tried again. Byron, I know that part of what has been going on between us has been because we've been alone and together and in danger, but
she stopped again. Byron said, If you're trying to say you're a Hinriad, Arta, there's no need. I know it. I won't hold you to anything afterward.
No, oh, no.
She caught his arm and placed her cheek against his hard shoulder. She was speaking rapidly.
That's not it at all. It doesn't matter about Hinriad and Widimos at all. I love you, Byron.
Her eyes went up, meeting his.
I think you love me too.
I think you would admit it if you could forget that I am a Henriad. Maybe you will now that I've said it first. You told the Autarch you would not hold my father's deeds against me. Don't hold his rank against me either. Her arms were around his neck now. Byron could feel the softness of her breasts against him and the warmth of her breath on his lips. Slowly, his own hands went upward and gently grasped her forearms. As gently, he disengaged her arms and still as gently stepped back from her. He said, "I am not quits with the Henriads, my lady." She was startled. "You told the Autarch that..." He looked away. "Sorry, Arta. Don't go by what I said to the Autarch." She wanted to cry out that it wasn't true, that her father had not done this thing, that in any case... But he turned into the cabin and left her standing in the corridor, her eyes filling with hurt and shame.